Today is Monday, the 5th of March, 2018, and my name is Adam. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Geeky Gay from London. I'm recording this episode from my hotel room on the South Bank in the Mondrian Hotel. And it is Monday afternoon, and oh my gosh. So I have a lot to go over, but these may be shorter and or longer than a normal episode because I want to give updates from the vacation. I don't know if I'm going to be giving updates from Philippines because, Mark, I don't usually record in front of Mark and it's weird and, you know, whatever, but I did want to give updates, a couple of updates at least on the vacation. I may try to record in the Philippines and upload something. I'm not really sure. But let's go back. So I gave you guys kind of an idea of what I was going to be doing on the vacation. And we'll go back. So I got everything, I got most everything wrapped up for work. I had a meeting with my new boss just to go over, you know, what I was going to be working on when I get back. Nothing specific, but just to give me some ideas, set up, let him know we're going to have a one-on-one. We're going to have a meeting when I get back to lay down some specific goals and, you know, so that I know that I'm meeting, you know, goals, not just kind of, I don't know, flip-flopping around doing stuff and not knowing if I'm really doing what he wants me to do. And then I went home and that was on Wednesday. And then I went home and proceeded to pack. I had to get Sydney ready. I had to pack everything. Mark had taken the scale that you weigh your luggage with. He actually packed that and took it with him to the Philippines when he went. So I needed to go to the store and buy another scale. And so I went to Walmart and I looked at scales and I was going to take a laptop bag for my carry-on. But I found a nice, you know, modern looking backpack that had lots of, it had a slot for a laptop. It had a slot for, you know, anything you could imagine that you want a water bottle, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so I decided, oh, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to put, you know, that'll fit more things. And I did some laundry and I got everything packed and I still had to work on Pride 48 because we were supposed to be putting the registration link on the website. And originally I said I wasn't going to work on anything Pride 48 on the trip because the current website requires programming to add stuff. Daniel had programmed it, kind of a custom thing, and it requires Visual Studio, which is a development tool for those of you who don't develop. And I had only set that up on my big gaming laptop. And I didn't really want to bring my gaming laptop because it's so heavy, and I don't use a laptop a whole lot when I'm on a trip, but I have an Ultrabook that's the Lenovo Yoga that's much smaller, much lighter. But I had not set everything up on that. Well, Joey wasn't able to get the link from the hotel for the... And I guess he still hasn't gotten it because I haven't heard from him. But, you know, I thought there's a chance that this link or the codes for the hotel may materialize after I'm already on the trip. So I decided to set up the smaller laptop, you know, make sure Visual Studio was on there. Download the website code and everything to the small laptop, make sure all that was working. So that took a couple of hours. And I needed to also, Turnip Head has done a really good job, you know, getting everything set up for, we're moving over to a WordPress website instead of the one that we've got. And just kind of as a trial run, we're putting some of the Pride 48 New Orleans stuff on the new website. So, because we can use WordPress plugins and it's just a little bit easier. And so Turnip Head had, you know, set up a nice shopping cart. with the registration options on it. He did all that work himself. It was really good. And then I needed to get the link, just the link. I mean, just get the link to that on the event page for pride48.com. So I did that from the new setup on the smaller Ultrabook and just tested it out. And that all worked well. So, I had to drop Sydney off at my parents. And because she was going to be staying with my parents for so long, I needed to show my mom how to brush her, because my mom doesn't really brush her a lot when she babysits or dog sits. And so I gave her a lesson on how to do the ponytail, and how to do all that stuff. And then so by the time I was done packing and I was ready to go to bed and everything was, Sydney was at my mom's, I had weighed my bag, I had set up all the computers, I had done all that kind of stuff. It was like 2 a.m. And I don't know why this always happens, like the day before I need to go on a trip, and always I have an early flight, and I always end up packing or doing something until 1 or 2 a.m. and then only having 3 or 4 hours to sleep. So I got, I got in bed, and when you need to sleep, it's impossible to sleep. I put on a podcast, but just quietly, and set the sleep timer on my phone, on the Pocket Cast application. And I finally went to sleep, and then I had set my alarm for 5. Well, my plane was leaving at 7, and our airport is very small. Our airport is super small, and so I thought, I really only need to get there, maybe 45 minutes before the plane takes off. 30 minutes is the cutoff. If it doesn't matter how small the airline is or how small the airport is, you have to be there 30 minutes before for a domestic flight. And so I got ready, finished packing everything, and I guess I was going a little bit too slow because I didn't realize the exact amount of time it takes. The condo, we used to only be about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes from the airport. And we've moved, the condo that we moved to, and we've lived in this condo for 1.5 years. And I've gone to the airport from there, since we moved there. But for whatever reason, I didn't plan very well timing-wise. And so I didn't get out of the house until, I don't know, it was close to 6 o'clock. So I ended up getting to the airport about 6:20. And I had to park in the closest parking space because I pulled into the parking lot about 6:20. So I only had 40 minutes. And, 30 minutes is the cutoff. So I run to the front entrance. And I thought, I'll use the SkyCap to check my luggage. No big deal. And SkyCap is the people that are outside. So you don't actually have to check in inside. Because I had already checked in for the flight. There was no one at the SkyCap booth. So I went in, and of course, this is a small airport, but of course, this is the one morning where there's a line, out the wazoo for American Airlines, which is what I was taking, the first of like 5 different airlines I'm going to fly on this trip. And so I got up to one of the booths, or one of the electric things where, the kiosk. And I went to check in, but at this point, it was 6:25. So 35 minutes before my flight is going to take off. The cutoff is 30 minutes before. I try to use it, and it tells me it's too late to check a bag. But I know the cutoff is 30 minutes. It says you need to see an attendant. So then I go, but there's a line to see the attendant. There are probably 4 or 5 people. And so I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, oh, crap, if I miss this one, that's going to screw up my entire trip because it's a very small airport and I don't think they had another flight even on the same day. So I would have to wait till the next day, but then I had a flight to London where I'm at now, the next day. So then I would miss my flight to London and then it would cause a cascade event. So I get up to the, I finally get up to the woman and it is now 6:29. I have 1 minute. So, and she starts to scold me. She's like, sir, you are way too late. Your plane leaves at, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't even know if I can check you in. And I said, I think the rule's 30 minutes and I've got a minute to spare. I'm like, yes, I know I mistimed it, but can you please try to check me in? I think I still have a minute. So she starts typing away on her little keyboard like they do. And, you know, long story short, she is able to check me in, thank God. But she continues to scold me and like, well, sir, you really need to. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, ma'am. I said, I have flown plenty of times and I never do this. I'm always at least an hour. I said, I just misjudged the time. It won't happen again, ma'am. Please just let me through. Because, man, she was just giving me this scolding. And so she said, okay, you're going to have to, like, run through security because, you know, but the flight was at 7. I mean, nobody, it is a small airport, and they're not going to leave earlier than the scheduled time. So, you know, I thought I was fine with that. So I get through security. There is a bit of a line in security as well. And I'm not really even sure why, because it's Thursday. You know, I mean, most flights would be Fridays. Business people who were coming in and then leaving to go home, I would assume those would be either Thursday afternoon or Friday morning. So I'm not really sure why it was busy on a Thursday morning. But anyway, got on the plane, got to New York, you know, and then got, I'm trying to think. So I had a hotel in New York that I can't even remember now, but I got to New York about 2 p.m. and I think I got a lift to my airport or to my hotel, checked into my hotel, and then, and I contacted Lamont Cranston, who I was going to be having dinner with, and we kind of arranged a time and everything, and he had recommended a spa. So, cause I really like hot tubs and sauna and all that kind of stuff. And so he recommended a spa. So I got checked in and I, you know, got my bag squared away and all that. And I got another lift to this spa. And the spa was great. There were probably 6 or 7 different hot tubs. And there was like 2 cold tubs. And there was a wet steam room and a dry sauna. And there was a co-ed swimming area. And there were, and it was run, I think it's run by Korean people. And but it was really nice. Anyway, so I spent a couple of hours there just kind of relaxed. And then I was able to get another lift back to the train station and then take the train into Grand Central. And I met Lamont Cranston. We had a lovely dinner at a burger place. That's a kind of a place in New York. I don't know if it's a chain that's anywhere else, but he said there were at least a couple of locations in New York. So we ate and chatted, and I even while I was waiting for him in Grand Central, there's a really good pastry shop there in Grand Central, and I was able to get a big macaron, macaron, and so I got a hazelnut macaron and had that while I was waiting on him, and then he walked up and, you know, I spilled all the tea on Pride 48 and everything else. No, I mean, I didn't talk bad about anyone. Everyone is wonderful, and we just had a lovely conversation, and Lamont is super nice. And we had a really good chat and everything, but I'm an old man. He was going for drinks, but I'm an old man, and I knew I had a flight the next morning. So I said, you know, Lamont, if you don't mind, you know, I know he was going to go out for some drinks, but I'm not a big drinker. I'm not a big club person or bar person. And I wanted to try to get some sleep for my next flight. So I was like, you know, if you wouldn't mind, can you go ahead and walk me back to wherever I need to get the train? And so he said, yeah. And so we walked back and it rained a little bit, but we were able to, he had an umbrella and I brought an umbrella with me on the trip, but I didn't think to take it, you know, I left it in the hotel room. And so then, got the train, everything was fine, made it back, you know, to my, made it to the station that I needed to make it to. And then I think I was able to, if I remember correctly, I was able to walk from the station to my hotel because it wasn't that far. And so, you know, slept. I bought a Diet Coke. There's a Burger King next to the hotel. I bought a Diet Coke because I really need something to drink all the time. And I, you know, went into the hotel. And I, you know, got some sleep. And then my flight to London was leaving at 11 a.m. And I, you know, I got up early, I got dressed, you know, got my shower, got dressed, did all that kind of stuff. And then I got an Uber to the airport because I just wanted to make sure that I was on time and it, you know, or a Lyft. I think I did a Lyft again. But anyway, I just wanted to make sure that I was on time and I didn't want to, if I tried to do train or anything weird like that, you know, I don't even think there is a train. So I think I would have had to do Lyft but or a cab. But so anyway, I did a Lyft, made it to the airport 2 hours before the flight, which is exactly what you're supposed to do for international, I think. And got everything checked in. It was a little bit confusing because Norwegian is the airline that I was using, but they had they were using a different airline to handle the flight. So the ticket was purchased through Norwegian. So I didn't even know. I'm like, okay, I'm looking for Wamos Air, which I've never heard of in my life until this trip. And then I asked someone at the airport, I asked like a security guard or something. I'm like, I said, I bought my ticket through Norwegian, but the airline is Wamos and I don't know where to check in. And he said, oh yeah, you'll need to go over to Norwegian. And he pointed me to where Norwegian was and I was able to check in. And they had the most convoluted check-in process. You had to check in with them, show them your passport, do all that kind of stuff. If you had a bag that you needed to check, you had to leave that line. They gave you your ticket, but you had to leave the line, go to another area where you had to wait in line to pay for the bag. Then where you pay for the bag, they stamp that ticket. Then you have to go back to the person who checked you in originally, even though they may be helping someone else by this point. And you have to show them the ticket and show them that it was stamped. And then they will put your luggage through to actually get on the plane. So I did all of that. I did all of that. And then I was able to get through security. No big deal. Although security was weird because all the stuff has changed now. So usually you just have to take your laptop. And like if you have a large iPad, you probably need to take that out. They were making me take out camera, you know, audio recorder, anything electronic that was like larger than a cell phone. They wanted out of the bag. So I was like, you know, my bag when I go on a trip is mostly electronics. I have my Nintendo Switch. I have a laptop. I have my iPad. I have the recorder that I'm using to record this audio, which looks like a bomb anyway, or a taser, if you've looked at the Zoom H4N. And so, you know, I take all that stuff out. I feel like I'm stripping my clothes off, have to take my baseball cap off, have to take my, have to take my belt off, all this kind of stuff, my shoes. And so by the time I get all that stuff off and get through there, and then, you know, and luckily, you know, no problems there, and I get through. And then I stop at a little, so I made it through security, and I stop at one of the little bookshops, and I bought just a little slice of pound cake. This will be pertinent later in the story. And I bought the piece of pound cake, and I got to my gate, and I think I bought a drink or something. And so I sat down, had my pound cake, you know, et cetera. And then boarding, and I was just listening to podcasts and stuff, which I found a really good new podcast. If you like food podcasts, it's not new. It's probably 7 or 8 years old, but I just found it. It's called The Sporkful. And they just talk about, like, one episode they'll talk about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, or one episode they'll talk about, you know, steak, or one episode they'll talk about pizza. They just take a different food, and it's a little different now, but I'm going back and listening all the way from the beginning. The way it is now, you know, spoiler alert, but there's only one host now. When they started 7 years ago, there were two guys. Now there's just one, and he interviews most of his episodes. He's interviewing comedians or, you know, famous people or, you know, but it's always about food. They're either eating at a restaurant and they're talking about some specific type of food. But anyway, both versions of the podcast I've enjoyed. So check it out. So anyway, I finally, but I have to wait. You know, there have been all the blizzard stuff going on in Europe. And so we ended up boarding late, but we did get on. We did get on. We probably boarded maybe 30 minutes later than we were supposed to. But then when we got on the tarmac, you know, we were sitting there for, I guess, maybe a half an hour. And then the pilot came on the speaker and said, well, we're currently 21st in line because there's a backup at JFK because I'm assuming because of all the weather conditions in Europe, and it's caused delays in a lot of the flights. So it's caused the, you know, everything to delay. And we were probably on the tarmac for, I don't know, I want to say an hour, hour and a half, maybe more. So by the time we took off and everything, we were probably 2.5 hours late from when we were supposed to be leaving. And so, and the flight was pretty nondescript. I would say, you know, you have to fill out the landing card, you know, where you give them all your, you practically give them your, you know, last time you came and like, I don't know. But you fill out this landing card. I didn't have a pen, so I had to borrow a pen from one of the flight attendants. They didn't speak English very well at all. This airline is apparently a Spanish airline. Now, I will tell you this. There were two flight attendants that were guys. They were both hot. And this one guy, his white button-up shirt, you know, his uniform shirt, must have been a little too short for him, for his torso. So when he would walk by, sometimes I would see little peaks of his belly button, and like he had this really flat stomach and, you know, whatever. I sound so thirsty, but anyway, so, but both of the guys were super cute and Spanish and like, you know, whatever. But, well, then they start bringing food by. Well, I had only had that pound cake. Remember, we talked about the pound cake. We talked about the pound cake earlier. And I had only had the pound cake. Well, I didn't realize that this flight, because I was looking for the cheapest flights possible, right? But I figured any overseas flight, you were going to get some sort of food. I mean, that was my first thought. Because back in the day when I flew overseas, but that was like in 03, 02 or 03, if it was an overseas flight, you were going to get food anyway. So they start rolling through with the food, and I'm hungry. I'm smelling this food. I kind of like airline food. I don't know why, but I kind of like it. And then I realize they're not serving everybody food. They have a list of special people. So it turns out that you had to pre-purchase food when you bought your ticket. And I didn't realize that. I don't know how I missed it, but I missed it. And so, and then I thought, oh, no big deal. I'll look for a little menu for stuff that I can buy. No, they were not selling any food on the plane. You had, the only way you could eat is if you had pre-purchased. There was no way to buy anything on the plane. I mean, luckily this wasn't like the 11-hour flight that I have coming up to, you know, when I go to the Philippines. But, so there was no, so I luckily had put a little snack pack of Nutella and pretzels in my bag just randomly. Like, I don't even know why I did it. When I was at Walmart buying the scale, they were just, you know, those impulse purchases right there by the scanners. And I was like, oh, I'll buy a couple of those. And cause I like Nutella. And so I did. And I had that in there, and I had saved some cookies from American Airlines from my previous flight to New York. And so that's all I had, and this was like a 7-hour flight. And they barely gave us any drinks either. I mean, they only came by like a couple of times, and I didn't have a drink with me. I had finished my drink in the airport. My mouth was all dry. And, but other than that, I mean, I'm watching Altered Carbon, which is that Netflix show, and I had downloaded probably like 30 hours of content on my, iPad. So I basically just watched my iPad for 7 hours, and, you know, it was pretty uneventful. Got my landing card filled out. We got to the airport, and I, made it through security just fine, and it took a while, though, because it was really late. It was like 2:30 in the morning, and they only had, you know, two or three immigrations people there, or security, whatever they call them. And, you know, the flight held at least 300 or 400 people. So the plane, and it was pretty full. So, you know, I didn't mention one thing. So I was sitting in one area, and this girl comes up and she sits across the aisle from me. And she says, excuse me, sir, would you mind? And anytime I hear, would you mind? And it's like one girl or one guy by themselves, I know they're going to ask me if I will switch seats. I know. That is a hazard of flying alone. If you get an, especially if you get like an aisle seat, someone's going to ask you to. So she says, would you mind? And I'm like, oh God, here it comes. You know, and I hate saying no to people. So, and I was in, I don't know, I was in row 33 or something. And I didn't pick my seat because, again, I was being cheap. So I let the computer pick my seat. And luckily, it gave me an aisle seat. And I love aisle seats. So I was really happy. And so she says, would you mind changing seats with my boyfriend or whatever? And I'm like, well, I said, I don't mind what part of the plane I sit in. I said, as long as it's an aisle seat, because I don't want a window and I don't want a middle seat. And she's like, it's an aisle seat and it's 10. So it's closer to the door or something like that. 10. She said 10, but it ended up being 24. I don't know what happened there. But, and so she goes, hey, Adam, this guy says he'll switch with you. And I was like, oh, cool. My name's Adam. His name's Adam. It's like fate. So anyway, but I had already stuffed my bag under the seat in front of me and I'd gotten my iPad out. And so it was just, but I, you know, at least it was still an aisle seat and it was closer to the door and it was closer to the bathroom and, you know, all that. So it was fine. So I switched. I did the nice guy thing and I switched. If he had been in a middle seat, I would have said no. But anyway, I feel like Mike Lawson, though, when I tell that story, because he was just talking about on Catching Up how, or they played like a rerun or like something of when he was talking about, he rides the wrong way two or three stops or something and then gets on back on to go to work so that he can get on the train when it's very empty. And then how he doesn't like to trade with people or anything. Anyway, I feel the same way. Like, I don't want to trade with people. So I get to London. I'm a little bit concerned because it's now like 2:30 in the morning, 2:45. And I had a car arranged by the hotel. I'm also always weary of trying to check into a hotel past like 1 or 2 in the morning because their computer systems switch over to the next day. And so I call the hotel. They said, oh, everything should be fine. The car should be there. They said they will check your flight. They won't just sit there. They'll check your flight before they come out, and they'll know it was delayed, so that should be fine. So I get my bag. I make one mistake. I go through the wrong door, but it wasn't a big deal. I get out to the front with my bag. I waited quite a long time for my bag, and I got a little nervous that it wasn't going to show up. And it was like all my clothes. But luckily it did show up, and I went out. And my driver, I've never had this, but my driver was standing there with a little card with my name on it. So I felt all special, you know. And so we get in the car. He's a really lovely guy. He even gives me a compliment and tells me he thought I was in my like mid-20s, like 25. And when I told him I was 39, almost 40, he told, and this is after we had been driving for about half an hour because Gatwick was about 45 minutes away from my hotel. And so he gave me a compliment and said I look really young and, you know, whatever. That always makes me happy. And so I made it to my hotel. I ordered, luckily my hotel had 24-hour room service because I was starving. And I ordered room service and I got chicken curry. And I didn't eat until like 5 a.m. And then I was able to get in bed and go to sleep. And then I had Harry Potter tickets for, two in the afternoon. So I slept until about 12:30, 12:15, got up, took my shower. I got a Lyft, or actually they don't have Lyft here. I got an Uber that took me straight to the theater because I was worried about time. I really wanted to use the tube mostly while I'm here. because that's what I used to, you know, I'm pretty familiar with it. I mean, it's been 15 years since I've been in London, but they haven't changed the tube system that much. So I was familiar with, you know, how, where to get a ticket and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I went to Harry Potter, and I know a lot of you were wanting a review, and I suck at reviews, but this is what I'll say. Harry Potter was I really enjoyed it. I would say the beginning, probably the first 45 minutes to an hour, was kind of frantic. They were trying to get through a lot of material quickly, and it was just like, and I won't give much away, because if you haven't read the book, there's a book that's kind of a manuscript of the play. I mean, it's not really a separate book, but it's like a manuscript. And I had read half of that. I hadn't read the whole thing. So I get there, first of all, and I go in, and the sign is really pretty, and, you know, it's kind of my first sights of London in the daylight. And I didn't mention to everyone. Everyone was concerned about the snow. There was snow on the ground at like 3 in the morning when the driver was driving me to my hotel. By the time I woke up at like noon, most of the snow had melted. So no snow since then either. So I saw a little bit of snow, but, you know, in the dark. And the theater was really nice. It's at the Palace Theater, and walk in. The theater looks really old and majestic and, you know, kind of it looks Harry Potter-ish. And they have a couple of bars and places where you can buy snacks and stuff like that. And then you go in, and I had really good seats. And I ended up sitting by an American, strangely. And we talked a little bit. She's from Chicago, and or she lives in Chicago now. She's lived other places. But anyway, you don't need a biography of who I sat by. But she was really friendly. And I was like, oh, that's ironic that I sit by the only other American. But probably there were 50% Americans in there. Because, you know, all the Americans that visit London, what's the first thing they're going to do? Oh, let's go see Harry Potter. So you know, it starts off, you know, I wasn't quite sure. And Hermione being African-American or African... No, why did I say African-American? I'm in UK. What do they call... what do they call... African United Kingdomian? I don't know. But anyway, her being black, you know, it's not, I mean, it has nothing to do with race other than when I see something and I expect characters to look a certain way. It is a little distracting when they look so much different because all the other characters looked like what you expected. Harry Potter looked like what you would expect Harry Potter to look like. Harry Potter's son looked like what you would think Harry Potter's son would look like. Ron looked like what Ron looked like. Severus, I mean, all of the characters looked like, but Hermione, it was a little hard to see her as Hermione. And it went a little fast at the beginning, but other than that, I mean, all of the special effects were cool. Some of the ways they did certain magic things were really cool. Some of it you could tell how they were doing it, but it was still, you know, cool to watch and, you know, how they achieved all the stuff that they achieved on this small little stage. The set was really nice. I really enjoyed it. So they have the first half and you get like half of the story. There is an intermission and it went from like 2 to 4 or 2 to 4:30. And then I had a sandwich at Pret a Manger, which is just they have this thing here in England where they really like sandwiches as well, like Americans. But they will do a lot of pre-made sandwiches. Most Americans think of a pre-made sandwich in a package as nasty. And, you know, it's something you get at a gas station and you really don't want it. But they have nicer shops here where they make the sandwiches fresh every day. It's not sitting there for weeks or whatever. And they're nice sandwiches. Like I had a avocado and chicken and cucumber sandwich, you know, on like a wheat bread with, I don't know. And anyway, and then Nathan happened to be in the area. He's my ex, and so he stopped by, and we had a chat, and then we walked around and looked in a couple of stores while I was waiting on the next half of the play. And then he left, and the play started again at 7:30, and it was, you know, it was really good. I think it got better and better as the play went along. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. If you like Harry Potter, I think you'll really like the play. I definitely think it's worth seeing. And, you know, I know it's coming to, it's either in New York now or it's coming to New York. So this is the, as far as I know, the cast that I'm watching is the original cast, or mostly. So, so I was fortunate to see that. But I really liked it. And again, I suck at reviews, so that's about all I'm going to say. I think it's a good show. It has some cool special effects. You know, the first little bit, maybe the first hour, goes a little fast and they rush a lot of the story there. But that's because it's less important bits and they're just kind of introducing characters. And but it gets better and better as it goes along, and you know, it's good. You know, and it ties back to the original Harry Potter story. So anybody who's either read all the books or seen all the movies is going to recognize all the characters. So I really liked it. So so I did that, and then yesterday, and then I came back, and I couldn't go to sleep. I could not go to sleep until probably 4 in the morning, Sunday morning, because jet lag. So I was just laying on the bed watching Grace and Frankie, and I never can remember whether it's Frankie and Grace or Grace and Frankie, but anyway, I was watching that. Tried listening to a podcast to make me sleepy, but still couldn't go to sleep until about 4. And then today, yesterday I woke up again, probably around, I think I woke up around 11, and I was supposed to meet Nathan at the Victoria Station at noon because I wanted to see his parents. Because when I lived here the first time, I hung out a lot at his house, and I got to know his parents and his brothers quite well. And I, you know, I wanted to see them since I was going to be in town. So I met him at Victoria Station, and then we took the train to where he lives. He doesn't live in London. It's about an hour train ride away from London in a, I don't know, it's kind of a country town, but it's really nice houses. And, you know, I don't know what they call it here, village or something like that. But but it was nice. And his dad came and picked us up at the station, and his dad looks pretty much like, he looks a little older, but looks a lot like I remembered him. And his mom looks beautiful, and she doesn't look, I mean, I think his mom's around 60. She does not look 60. And she cooked, and we talked, and we had his, one of his brothers was there. Oh my God. One of his brothers was very frumpy looking and, you know, chubby. And I know Nathan listens to this. So Nathan, sorry. You know, I think you're cute as well. You know, we were together, so obviously. But I just have to say, one of his brothers is now an airline pilot and is so, I'll use a British term for this. He is so fit in all of the photos that you see on Facebook. But anyway, he wasn't there. He was off on some, you know, flight to Mexico or something with British Airlines. Such a jet setter lifestyle, you know. Oh, he's a pilot, and he has this, you know, I don't know, he has this, you know, model girlfriend or dancer or something, and, you know, beautiful girlfriend. And his other brother is, Oliver is he works for security at Gatwick Airport. So he and I had a nice chat about what type of liquids I could bring and what, what I can't bring. And so anyway, so it was lovely. The meal was great. Nathan's mom is a really good cook, and I really enjoyed the talk. Nathan and I went down to their separate sitting room. They have a beautiful house. It's not the same house as they lived in before, but it's a really beautiful house. And, you know, with like floor-to-ceiling windows in the kitchen that look out on this beautiful, you know, back garden area. And, you know, it's very lovely. And the kitchen is one of those modern kitchens where you don't even know where the refrigerator is. It's just like built into the cabinets. And then she goes over and, you know, pulls a little lever and out pops a refrigerator, basically. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. And getting caught up with them, and we talked about everything under the sun. We had to fit all our catching up into, you know, one afternoon, basically. And Nathan and I went down to his separate sitting area that he has downstairs, and we had a nice chat. And then there was a little bit of drama because we didn't realize what time the train was leaving. And his dad like runs down the stairs and is like, "You know, oh guys, you know, we're going to miss the train if we don't leave right now." And we're like, "Oh, we thought the train was in another half hour. We misread." And So he tries to rush me to the train, and we miss it. We get there right as it's pulling away. Luckily, there was another train, but it was like an hour later, so I felt really bad because we had to drive back to their house, and then they had to wait another hour, and then his dad had to drive me back. But anyway, that went fine. The train ride back went fine. I found in one of the train stations these cakes that I love. They're called Fondant Fancies. And so they're basically, I think we call them pedophores. I'm not really sure. I can't remember. But they're the little tiny square cakes that have ganache like drizzled over them. And they're really pretty and square and perfect looking. And there's a store called Marks and Spencer that has them that I just love. And so I, you know, in all of my riding of tubes and doing all of that kind of stuff, I found these at the station. And I'm actually going to play in the background a little bit of what it sounds like in a tube station. If you've never ridden the tube, or, you know, some sort of train in New York or whatever, it's a very peculiar, you know, you'll hear the train arriving in the tunnel. And it's always nice to be down in the tunnels because they're a lot warmer. Well, in the winter time, it's good because they're a lot warmer than the outside, but you get a little bit of a breeze from the kind of from the tube. Sometimes they can be a little stinky, but anyway, so, you know, in the summer, though,
the Bakerloo, Circle, and District Line. Exit for riverboat services from Embankment Pier. This is a Northern Line train terminating at the end.
Anyway, so normally they say, please mind the gap, which is like the big thing, but I don't think I got a recording of them saying, please mind the gap. But anyway, so that's always an experience. So in one of the stations, I found Marks and Spencer, kind of a, you know, a smaller version of the larger grocery store. It's like a department store, but they have a food section. And I found the little pedophores, or the fondant fancies, as they call them. And I love them. They're so good. I may try to buy a couple of boxes of them when I come through London on my way home.
The next station is Waterloo. Change here for Bakerloo, Jubilee, and Waterloo and City Line. And National Rail Services. Exit for riverboat services from Waterloo Pier.
So I may try to put them in my suitcase and smuggle them back. So today, and I haven't used the gym at all. I've really got to try to use the gym tonight because I haven't used the gym at all since I've been here. And the other thing I haven't done is I really haven't done any, you know, sort of touristy stuff. I mean, other than the play. I mean, I spent the whole day at Nathan's yesterday, which I'm glad, because one of the main reasons I wanted to stop by London is to see Nathan, because I haven't seen him in forever, and to see his family, and, you know, just to catch up with everyone. And I'm meeting Paul tomorrow, Shayeti, so I'm looking forward to that. And so those are the main reasons that I wanted to come here. And I did a lot of the touristy stuff when I lived here before, and I'm not a huge touristy person anyway. You know, I'd rather just kind of wander around and go into the shops and ride the tube and, you know, eat at some restaurants and even go to the grocery store and buy some stuff. I mean, you know, just feel like a local, you know, as much as possible. And so today I was able to sleep by about 2 a.m. last night, so I think my jet lag is getting better. But, you know, and so maybe tonight I'll be able to sleep by midnight. I don't know. But I didn't do anything. I didn't wake up, even though I got to sleep at around 2 a.m. I didn't wake up until, I don't know, noon or maybe 12:30. And then I kind of laid in bed until like 1. And then I thought, ugh, I better do something. But, you know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I would like to do the Harry Potter. I know it sounds like I'm a Harry Potter head, but I'd really like to do the studio tour. And also, And, you know, I may have waited too late because I didn't buy any tickets for that. And I think they may sell out. So I may not even be able to do that while I'm here. We'll see what I'm able to do. But, you know, and I wanted to wander around, you know, Piccadilly Circus and Leicester Square and some things like that and take some photos. But I forgot my charger for my camera and the battery is dead. So I can't use my real camera for anything. I'm just having to use my phone. And so, you know, I need to do all those things just, you know, because I don't want to just waste, but I was just kind of groggy and everything. And I just used the spa in the hotel and the steam room. And, you know, I laid around the room for another hour or so, you know, watched something on my iPad and then decided I was going to go down to the spa. That would have been a perfect time to work out, actually. And I didn't. I didn't even eat anything. And then, you know, I strolled around the South Bank a little bit because my hotel is on the South Bank. And I took a couple of pictures, you know, just in the area. And then I came back to my hotel and decided I was going to record this episode. And tonight, I've probably taken way too long on this episode because Nathan's going to be getting out of work. And he and I are going to be going to dinner. And so, you know, I don't know if this will be the last time I see him or not, or if I'll like have dinner with him like another evening or something, but we're having dinner tonight and then I see Paul tomorrow. So I've got to try to fit in something tomorrow morning, touristy, or alternatively, I need to take the train down to Brighton, which is the other place I lived when I was here, just so I can kind of walk around Brighton and see what that's like. Take some more pictures and stuff like that. And then Wednesday, I would like to possibly see a play tomorrow night. There's one called Jamie that's been recommended to me, so I may go to that tomorrow night. And then Wednesday, I'm just gonna do, you know, a little strolling around and, you know, again, just kind of strolling around London, taking some photos, you know, things like that. And then my plane leaves to go to, the Philippines on around 8 p.m., so I'll need to be back at the hotel or back at the airport about 6, and I'm flying out of Heathrow. And so, and then I'll be on to the tropical portion of my vacation. So it's already going so fast, but anyway, I'll try to do another update, at least one more before the end of this week, and then hopefully I'll do one or two when I'm in the Philippines as well. For more episodes of the show, you can go to geekygay.com. You can call me 229-234-7587. You can email adamburns.uk, now you know why, at gmail.com. Again, adamburns.uk at gmail.com. And you can find many more shows over at pride48.com. Bye, everyone. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.